Alright, so we'll say good morning. So we are picking up today in Perek Yud Tes in the Silas Yisharim. So we left off with Banefesh on page, in the red edition, is page Kuf Pei, three lines up on the bottom. So remember, again, we're speaking about the idea of Chasidos in the realm of Bein Adam L'Chavero, interpersonal relationships. So the Ramchal explained that there are three different categories in which we express Chasidos, or which Chasidos manifests itself. One is Beguf, with physically, that we try to help another to whatever degree we possibly can. B'mamon, financially, again, also trying to help a person to whatever degree we can. And of course, not chas v'shalom doing anything that ultimately will adversely affect another. And the last one is banefesh. Sheyishtadel la'asos l'chaveiro kol koras ruach sheyish biyado. That a person, we actually started this yesterday, that a person should try to do for his friend, to give his friend koras ruach, to give his friend inner tranquility, inner peace, to the best of his ability. Bein b'inyani ha-kavod, whether it has to do with matters of honor, bein b'chol shar inyanim, or anything else, kol mashu hu yodea shim ya'aseihu l'chaveru hu mekavol nachas ruach mimenu, anything that I know will ultimately give my friend some level of inner peace. So mitzvas chasidos hu la'asoso. Then the chasidos tells me that ultimately I should try. Now, it's interesting over here. So what the Ramchal is saying is, in this circumstance, chasidos benefesh means to help a person feel good about themselves. Literally, to help a person feel good about themselves. You know, everybody struggles with some kind of insecurity, and everybody struggles with some kind of difficulty. And the idea over here is that a person actively tries to make another feel safe, to make another feel secure, to make another feel good about who and what they are. That's called chasidus ben nefesh. V'chol shekin shelo yitzarenu b'shum minei tzar klau. So also you understand, in all of these cases, the Ramchal first begins by speaking about the positive, and of course, again, we infer from that one, of course, should not engage in the negative. So meaning, if I'm saying that a person should try to go ahead and make the other feel good and feel important about themselves, so of course it's understood from that statement that a person should not chas v'shalom be mitzair, should not go ahead and make another feel tsar over anything. Uklal kolze hu gemilos chasodim asher hefligu chacham zichron l'bracha b'shvacha u'bachav aseinu ba. And of course included in this is chesed, which again, Chazal spoke about extensively, extolling it and our obligation in it. And of course, included in this is running after peace, which of course is the ultimate good between one person and his fellow. If you look in footnote 21, it says, interesting, it says, being a rodev shalom, running after peace, is also included in the general category of chesed. V'itochin sh'rabinu ba'orer kan, sh'ala chosed l'hishtadl b'tikun ha'chevra b'chloluso, ayide hashba'o al avirasa. What Ramchal seems to be saying over here is that included in the realm of chasidus is every person's obligation to try in some way to rectify or to remedy the atmosphere in which he lives. This is actually very interesting. So part of what Ramchal seems to be saying is, it's not enough just to have an impact on individuals. You have to have an impact on the collective. Some have to have an impact on the collective, which is just an interesting idea. So not enough to do for just the other. You have to figure out somehow how to positively impact the collective, how to positively impact the community. Fine. So now, at this point in time, we begin now to understand the realm of chasidus. Again, we spoke about chasidus bein adam l'makom, between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we spoke about chasidus bein adam l'chaveiro, between man and his fellow. And we established that in chasidus bein adam l'makom, there are these three distinct categories of physical chasidus, financial chasidus, and almost emotional spiritual chasidus. Okay. V'ata avi lecha rayos al kol ha'dvarim ha'ele min ha'chachamim. So now that I've told you all this information, allow me to share with you some proofs based on the words of the Chachamim. In other words, that the Ramchal is saying to us, like, you might be looking at this and you might say to yourself, this is very interesting, but where do you know this from? Right? Meaning, how do you know that these statements are true? That ultimately Chassidus expresses itself in these various ways. So look what he writes. He says, Afapi Shadvarim Pshutim Vein Tzrichim Chizuk L'Raya. That was it. I remember the interesting part over here is that a person could easily say, come on, there's nothing here that we're writing that's actually a chiddush, right? All of this stuff. So remember, actually, we started this yesterday. So he says, Beperek Bnei Ha'ir, Amru Shalu Talmidav Rabbi Zakkai, B'maha Arachti Yomim. So remember, they asked Rabbi Zakkai, in what merit did you achieve longevity? And remember what he said, Amru Lahem, Miyomai lo hishtanti b'soch arba amo shel tila, v'lo kinisi shem lechaveri, v'lo bitalti kiddush hayom. So what does Rabbi Zakkai say? In all of my days, I never urinated within four amos of the place where I davened. I never called my friend by a nickname, and I never missed making kiddush. I never missed making kiddush. Meaning ala yayin, on wine. He says, Ima zekina haisali, I had an elderly mother, tam achas machra kipa shabarasha ve'aviyah le'kiddush hayom. And one time, she literally went ahead and sold the scarf that she wore on her head in order for me to be able to make kiddush. So I'm bringing down this case to give you an example of what it means to engage in chassidus, what we'll call bein adam l'makom. This idea ultimately, again, that how strong a person has to be to try to perform mitzvos. Ki kvar poter hoya min hadin mehavas yayin l'kiddush. Because remember again, technically speaking, if he did not have the money to purchase wine, that means he's exempt from the obligation to use wine for kiddush. Kevan shelo hayalo, because he didn't have wine. What is he supposed to do? Achai setzvicha ima limkar kipa shebarasha. Remember again, he's clearly so destitute that he doesn't have any money. Meaning again, the only way he has wine for kiddush is because his mother is selling her scarf in order to enable him to go ahead and buy the wine. However, he writes amnam. Mimidas chasidos haya osekein. So say, obviously, Rabbi Zakkai did not obligate his mom. He didn't tell mom, go sell your scarf. The point is, she did this for her son because she realized how committed he was to his mitzvos. Therefore, again, amna mimidas chasidos haya osekein. So says, this is an incredible yisod. So you see, this is a wonderful example because what it's saying here is that the mita of chasidos, when it comes to mitzvos, is like this. You know, there are times in life where, because of extenuating circumstances, I am exempt. I'm exempt, which means, again, I have a halachic license not to engage in a particular behavior. What Ramchal teaches us is the midah of chassidus is, I know I'm exempt. I know I don't have to do it. I want to do it. I want to be able to go ahead and engage in this process because ultimately I want to establish this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know that I don't have to. I know I'm exempt, I know I have a good excuse, but I don't want to avail myself of that excuse. I want this opportunity. This is the Rizaka I was saying, that this piece also highlights another episode, which is that you earn the respect of others when you take this approach to life. Because what's happening in this case over here, Rabbi Zakkai has no money. His mother decides of her own volition to go ahead and sell off her headscarf in order to go ahead and provide her son with wine for kiddush. Why? Because clearly he had led a life of such chassidus that those around him wanted to enable him to continue that as well. Furthermore, u'mashno geil chvod chavero shelo kino afilu kinui she'ino shel genai ki depershu atos sham. Furthermore, again, this idea that he was so meticulous with the kavod of another that he never called someone by a nickname, even if it was not disparaging in nature. Just never did that. So again, that's also an expression of chassidus on the interpersonal level. V'rafuna, gam kin kosher gemi al levusho, levisha machar hemyano liknos yayin lekideshem. So what's another example of this? That Rafuna tied a reed around his tunic, meaning he didn't have a belt. Why? because he sold his belt to purchase wine for Kiddush. So we'll say, so these are, now again, is one obligated to do that? First of all, there are other ways you can make Kiddush. You can make Kiddush on Challah, right? Or again, if a person has nothing, so you recite Kiddush as a verbal articulation of Shabbos. So what's the pshat over here? The pshat over here, says Ramchal, is that this is Chassidus. That Chassidus says that even though, again, I'm exempt, and even though I have a license not to do, I want to do. Why? Because I recognize that somehow, some way, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I mean, this is what he loves. So if this is what he loves and this is what he wants, then I want to do this, no matter what the cost it is to me. Ochan also says, just one more piece. Ochan, Shalu, Tamidus, Relazer ben Shemua. The students asked Relazer ben Shemua, Bama ha'arach yamim, how did you achieve such longevity? Amar lahem, miyamai lo asisi kapandari lebeisak nesas. Interesting. So what does he say? I never made a shortcut through the shul. Right? I never used the shul as a shortcut. Hello. Pasati al Rosh Am Kadosh. And I never walked on the heads, ultimately again, of this holy nation. Now what does that mean? So if you look in footnote number 30, he says, Lo Pasati al Rosh Am Kadosh. Kishayu atamidim veis hamedrish. Yoshim al Gabe Karka. Haholich al gav misibasam nira kipalsia roshe am v'hunira kimevaza also. So we'll say, so Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua says, remember the Talmidim used to sit lower down. The Rebbe would say that. So if you came in late, it looked like you were walking on top of the students. So Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua was always makbid to get to the shir before the students came, in order that it should never look like Chas Hashem he was walking on top of anyone. So what happens? The hine ze hamidos ve'in kvod beisak neses. Ubeinian korabrios, shalo livsoa agave misivasa, shalo le roos kimavaza osan. So we'll say again here, he's obviously demonstrating kavod for shul, which is incredible, but also, remember, technically speaking, is he walking on top of anyone if he comes to the base medrash after everyone's seated? Of course not. Of course not. At the end of the day, he's just simply walking into the base medrash. But because it has the appearance of being mevaza, because it has the appearance of being disparaging to someone else, he just simply did not want to engage in it. So the idea over here is that even though he might have been within his right, and even though technically speaking he wasn't doing anything wrong, because it had the appearance of something that was wrong, it had the appearance of something that was hurting or that was coming at the expense of someone else, so he didn't want to do it. That's the Midah of Chassidus. So we'll say again, you begin to see a much clearer picture now, that this Midah of Chassidus ultimately, again, represents this state of mind, this state where a person simply does not, a person on one hand wants to do that which is the Ratzon Habore, even though I might not be obligated to do that, and a person wants to avoid things that could Chas V'Shalom look negative, even if in reality they're not actually awesome. Alright, well, so we'll stop over here for today. And then she'll pick up again page Kuf Pei Beis with other examples of Rabbi Pareda. These Bameha Arachta Yamim Gemaras I always find very interesting. Because if you can imagine, you know, these are conversations that happen between, you know, a Rebbe and his Talmidim. And essentially, the Talmidim are asking the Rebbeim, you know, what is the secret to life? Like, what is the secret to longevity? What is the secret to a long... And of course, not just talking about biological longevity, talking about meaning as well. And it's amazing to see their answers. It's amazing to see how much their answers are rooted in how you treat the other, just on a very simple level. And if you notice, I mean, we've only seen two of them so far, we'll see more on Monday. No one's giving like complex answers. No one's saying because I spend 22 hours a day learning. Isn't that interesting? But what they're saying is simple things like, I pushed myself to observe mitzvos. I pushed myself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I never took liberties with the kavod of another. That seems to be the ingredients for success. I pushed myself to bless you. I pushed myself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when perhaps I had an out, and I never actively took liberties with the covet of another. All right, so we'll stop over here. We'll pick up in Yad Hashem on Monday. So I mean, it's halacha based on that story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the source for it. That's the source for it. And the idea is like, again, remember, think about it like this: I'm on my way to do a mitzvah. I'm going to do a mitzvah. What's wrong with using the shul as a shortcut? Again, obviously, if I'm going to go ahead and, you know, I'm late for my golf game and I'm cutting through the shul, I hear that. But let's say I'm on my way to do something else. I mean, it's not so posh that should be problematic. But the idea is, it's also the meat of Chassidus, that I don't want to do anything that even has the appearance of somehow taking for granted the sanctity of the shul. So coming